died for you. He died for me. From our sin, he set us free. He loved us so, his life he gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power. Thank you for continuing with this study. I commend your tenacity. Many start a study, but few finish. In this study, we see Jesus as King. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who should be placed in charge of your life above all other kings. It's only for us to obey His commands. We only obey the commands of man if they coincide with the teachings of Christ. Once man steps out of the commands of Christ, the Christian is compelled to follow the only true King, that is King Jesus. This week we are talking about kings as we go through our Old Testament survey, for lack of a better title. And this week's sermon is entitled King of Kings. It is the capital K, King of the capital book, capital K of the book of Kings, because it's the title of a book. King Jesus of Kings. He is the Word. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, in verse 14, and the Word came down, made His dwelling among us. He is Jesus Christ. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. King of the book of Kings, because He was the author of the book of Kings. Jesus is the common thread of the whole Word of God. He shows commonality from the book of Genesis until Revelation because He is the Word. He not only wrote the Word, but He is the Word, and the power is in the Word. God's Word points to the promise of eternal life. He gives His power through the Holy Spirit, who points us to Jesus. We as Christians discount the power of the Holy Spirit. We throw Him out of the equation because we don't understand Him. And we don't understand Him because we don't allow Him to work through us. Do you know that Jesus, when He was getting baptized, the Spirit of God descended on Jesus in the form of a dove, symbolized by a dove. So Jesus was filled with the power of God, with the Spirit of God. And Jesus told us, when I leave, I have to leave so I can send you the Spirit of God. He said He has to send His Spirit. What was His Spirit? The Spirit of God. He sent us the power of God and the Holy Spirit. The theme of Kings is the faithfulness of God to the promise of David for His eternal line, which includes Jesus. It's the faithfulness of God. That's what Kings is to tell us about. As all of Israel is rebelling, as all of Israel is turning away from God, they have already turned away from God. Remember, we talked last week with Saul, they have turned away from God at this point because they said, we want a king like all the other nations. And God said, so you will have him. And He gave him Saul. A king, like all the other nations. A head taller, beautiful man. A king, like all the other nations. They have rejected God. They don't want, I don't want you handling anything I've got anymore, God. We want a king like everyone else has. He knows more about what we're feeling. He's down here on the earth with us. You live up there on your throne, don't have a clue what's going on in my life. That's really what was going on. That's why they got King Saul. And then we have Samuel, who anointed Saul in the United Monarchy. Saul was the king for 40 years. And then David's reign continued in the United Monarchy. It's called United Monarchy because it was a united kingdom. Israel and Judah were one. It was a united kingdom. And David reigned for 40 years. Now in Kings, we see Solomon, who was another king of the United Monarchy, the United Kingdom. And he was king for 40 years, but Solomon was an oppressor. The wisest man on earth still did not know how to handle God's people. Still turned away from the wisdom that God gave him. Now, after the death of Solomon, in the book of Kings, his son Rehoboam succeeded him. Now, the people came to Rehoboam, and they said, "Please, loosen the yoke of bondage that your father has placed on us. And if you do that, we will serve you. We will work for you. We will call you our king." Well, Rehoboam did something biblical. He sought counsel. That's about as far as it went. He sought the counsel from the older ones. And they told him, "Loosen your grip and they'll follow you." Well, then he went and sought counsel from the ones he grew up with, his cronies, his buddies, and they said, "No, you ought to make the rein even tighter. Make these people work. They ain't seen nothing yet." And so he followed the advice of the younger instead of the older. Even though God has told us to revere our elderly. They have wisdom. Your mom and dad, they seem pretty stupid right now. There's going to come a time in your life when they are probably the smartest people that you've ever seen. Unfortunately, you've got to... That's right, I heard a lot of amens out there. Y'all want to say it again, fathers? Amen. Amen. You see, right now it looks like everything is just great. I know everything what's going on. And instead, you know absolutely nothing about this world. And yet, we choose to follow the younger, our peers, just as Rehoboam did. And in doing so, we get into struggles, get into trouble. And we fall, and we collapse. And Rehoboam followed the younger, and he said, "No, I'm going to tighten the yoke." And Israel revolted. And they said, "Fine, then you're going to do it without us." 10 tribes of Israel went with Jeroboam instead of Rehoboam. That left Rehoboam with only the 2 tribes of Israel, Benjamin and Judah. And they left and they separated. Because if Rehoboam would have had the wisdom of God, he would have loosened the yoke and he would have become a leader to them. Israel would have stayed united. Instead, the kingdom split in 2. It became Israel and it became Judah. And Judah was still the nation where Jerusalem was. Again, the theme of Kings is faithfulness of God. Because even though they split, and you would have thought that that God might have put His blessings with Jeroboam. But He didn't. He kept His blessings with Rehoboam. Now, God would have had equal blessings with Jeroboam. Would Jeroboam have been faithful to God? Would he had been obedient to God? But he was not. Rehoboam was not obedient to God either. But because of the promise God has given Israel of the lineage of David, God's faithfulness continued. And it continued in the tribe of Judah. Because Jesus was to be the Lion of Judah. He was to be the King of Kings from the lineage of David, the tribe of Judah. God's faithfulness abounded. He stayed with Judah. The promise was fulfilled later in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Many, many years later. In Jesus' sacrifice, Kings illustrates a parallel of Elijah and Elisha and John the Baptist and Jesus. Really, I should have put with Elijah and John the Baptist and Elisha and Jesus. That would have been a little bit, most probably a little bit more proper. Elijah was known for his distinctive, the way he dressed. And then, of course, John the Baptist. He dressed the same way. And when he came, John the Baptist was described wearing camel hair with a leather belt. And that's why the Pharisees wanted to know, are you Elijah? And of course, John the Baptist said, no, I am not. I have to take this one short step. There's a lot of ambiguity in this, and it's hard to understand. But John the Baptist was not Elijah. Reincarnation is not in the Bible. He was not reincarnated from Elijah to John the Baptist. It was not to be. But he was in the spirit of Elijah. He had that same prophet spirit that Elijah had. And in fact, Jesus says he was the greatest prophet ever born of a woman. And it's not because of the wonderful, miraculous things he did. It was for the one miracle that he did, which was to proclaim the coming Christ. That's the most powerful, the most miraculous of the gifts that we have is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. The power of God is in His Word. The power of God is in His Gospel. Both John the Baptist and Elijah were under hostile political pressure. We experience hostile political pressure right now. And now everyone's expecting me to say something else probably about our United States government. But I'm not. Because I'm talking about the church. You see, we experience political pressure in the church to conform to the world. And in fact, most churches have succumbed to that pressure and have wanted to become as the world. I can't do stuff in the church anymore because nobody will come. I have to do it outside the church. I need to be in the world to make sure that we can witness to them. I'm afraid I get confused when that happens. I don't understand it. We're content to discount the power of the gospel with the power of the world. Quote, power of the world, because there is none. It is a superficial power. It's a power that is given by Satan. It's temporary. It's going to fall away. It's gone. But yet we substitute the power of the gospel for the trappings of the world and welcome the world. And say, yeah, okay, we'll come here on Sunday and we'll give our quote-unquote worship, or at least we'll give our token worship to God. But when it comes to the ministries of God, we can't do them through the church. We have to do them outside the church. There are even churches who say, you know what, we've got to invite the world into our service. Just as those I was talking about this morning who no longer want to take up an offering for God as a part of the worship service. I don't want to offend anybody. There are some people think that they're coming to church because they only want them in church because they want my money. It takes money to operate a church. But that is not our goal. God realizes what it takes to run His kingdom. And He'll take care of the bills. He's concerned about you as a person. But yet we continue to discount the power of God, the power that God said John the Baptist had, because we are afraid of the gospel and we reject the power of the gospel. We reject the Word of God. Am I getting close? We reject Jesus Christ, who is the Word, because we discount the power of the gospel. The church is ineffective today, but we're only ineffective because of our unbelief. You see, we don't believe what we preach. We don't practice what we preach. It's no wonder that no one wants to come to the church, because we don't practice what we preach. We don't practice the power of God. Instead, we stand outside and say, no, God's power can't truly work. We have to be like the world and make it happen. Just like Israel, we want a king like all the other nations. You see, Israel wanted a king so they could be like everyone else. We want our worship services to be like a concert, so it can be like everyone else. It's all inclusive. We don't want to preach Jesus because we could scare someone away. We don't want to preach God's Word because we could scare some away. We don't want to have ministries in the church because we can scare someone away. And so we welcome them all in, all inclusive. And then when they get here and the church does nothing and is ineffective in the world, we sit around in our little groups and say, why? Why are we ineffective? We don't understand why. When the reality is, it's because we deny and reject the power of God, who is His Word. We have succumbed to political pressure. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. But the church is ashamed of the gospel, and they don't want to hear it, because we might run someone off, because we don't believe what God has told us. Luke 24:27 says, in the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said about the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus says that the entire scriptures, the entire Word of God, tell about Jesus, because He is the Word. Number two, Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the King of the Book of Kings, and He is the Kings of all the world kings. And we either trust Him or we don't. We can't have it both ways. We either pray and believe in His power, which is the gospel, or we don't. We can think that we are doing God's work by trying to suck them in with all the other toys of the world, but we are doing nothing. Especially if they get sucked in and then the gospel is never given to them in the second place. If we suck them in the first place and then are ashamed of the gospel in the second place, we have condemned them to an eternal damnation in the third place. Jesus is King of Kings. He's represented in the Book of Kings and given that common thread through Elijah and through Elisha to focus on the common Messiah, the coming King. Matthew 3:1-12 says, in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. continuing, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me one will come who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the power of the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Remember Romans 1:16? The power of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's God's power. And yet we reject that power on a continuous basis in the name of Christianity. I know better than you, God. You see, I'm down here, you're sitting up there, you don't know anything about me. Here I am, I'm going through struggles, I'm going through problems. I'm sick, I'm hurt, I'm on drugs, I'm drinking, I'm overweight, I'm whatever it is that you're going through. I don't have any money. And all you do is you sit on your throne, you tell me what I can't do. I don't need you. I can handle this. That's what we tell God daily. That's what Israel told God by getting a new king. And that's what we tell God by saying, you know what, God, we don't need to proclaim your gospel. We know better than you. We'll suck them in here with bright lights and music. And we'll make it happen. Because you don't know what's going on in my life. But instead, that is a lie of Satan, because quite the contrary, God said He has the hairs on your head numbered. He cares about us deeply. He cares about what you're going through right now. He cares that you're sick. He cares that you're on drugs. He cares that you're drinking. He cares that your family is not in perfect working order. He cares that there are struggles going on in your life. And He's there for you, waiting to help you. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, the dove has ascended on you. You have been filled with the promised Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said, look, I've got to go. If I don't go, I can't send the Spirit that's going to give you power so that you might proclaim my gospel. And why do you proclaim His gospel? Because His gospel comes to us to give us eternal salvation. He knows that's the abundant life. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. The abundance of Jesus Christ is in the power of His gospel as He frees you from the drugs, from the alcohol, from the problems. When we allow Him to. Is it instantaneous? For some, I've seen it. I've seen those who are chronically cursing God or cursing or just stop. I've seen those who have addictions to drugs and alcohol, to whatever addiction you might have, just stop. God cleans them of that right then. Others, maybe it's a little harder struggle. But He brings each one of us through our own struggle in a different way. There's no formulas here. I can't tell you when you come to Christ, you're automatically, your bank account's going to be full, your body's going to be healed, you're going to be jumping up and down, there's no more problems, all your family's going to get saved. I can't tell you that. Because that's not what the Word says. But I can tell you, when you come to Jesus Christ, that power of the Holy Spirit comes in you and helps you to walk through the struggle times that you are having today. I have what some might consider a perfect life, and in many times I sit around and I know that I have the perfect life. I have a great wife. I got 5 beautiful grandchildren. I got my children, my dad and my mom still alive. My sisters and I are close. We have what people outside looking in, you got the perfect life. And even in that perfection, I recognize struggles and things that happen, things that I have to turn to God and say, God, I can't handle this one. Can't handle this. I need to turn it to you. He's telling you, turn that struggle over to Him. You have been baptized with the Holy Spirit through the sacrifice of the King of Kings. You have been baptized in the Holy Spirit through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who gives eternal life. Don't deny Him any longer. Don't deny that power of the Holy Spirit that comes on you so that you can proclaim His gospel in power and authority, so that you can trust, so that you can believe God that He cares about you and your situation right now. He cares about the darkness of your spirit that might be coming into you that's attacking. There is darkness and there is light. And what we are seeing is an absolute conflict of darkness and light. We are at a war. But we don't recognize it because we sit in our nice little houses, our nice little cars. We stay cool when it's hot. We stay warm when it's cold. We forget that the power of the light has overcome the darkness. The darkness walks, and we meet it every day. Some of us think that we can embrace both the light and the darkness. That can't be. If you're trying to embrace the light and the darkness, Jesus said in the book of Revelation that if you are lukewarm, then I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will throw you up. You either have to be hot or you have to be cold, but you can't be lukewarm. Because it makes God sick. Because you haven't made a decision. Do you understand what He's saying there? If you are walking lukewarm and you think you're a Christian, you are not. It's simple as that. Wait a minute, what about eternal salvation? What about the fact, once saved, always saved? In order to be once saved, you have to be saved. There has to be a conversion. There has to be an acceptance of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If you haven't accepted that Spirit of Christ, how can you say you're saved? If you are walking in the spirit of lukewarm, then I don't believe you've accepted Jesus Christ. He is not Lord of your life. If we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we put it out, yes, I confess Jesus is Lord, and now I believe that He is Lord of my life. I don't need a king like all the other nations. I got the one and only King, the King of Kings, to lead my life. I don't need the king of darkness. I got the King of Light. I cast out the king of darkness in this congregation in the name of Jesus. He is gone and He must flee, and He has told us in His Word that when we stand against Him, He must flee. The power is not me picking up a gun, a knife, a spear, anything, and running at the King of Darkness. The power is in the gospel. The power is in His Word. And His Word is Jesus Christ. Acts 2, 1 through 13 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues that the Spirit enabled them. And now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these men all speaking Galileans? How can they know my native tongue? How can they speak to me in what I totally and absolutely understand? Then, how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. "They've had too much wine," they said. Jesus promised that He would leave us and send His power to us. The power was sent on the day of Pentecost. The power of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit was sent on that day. And I believe they waited. The day of Pentecost was a separate experience of salvation at that time because Jesus had not yet sent the Holy Spirit. But now it is simultaneous to the time that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Luke 24:45-49, on the walk to Emmaus, He said, "Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures." As He's walking with these men and they're mourning the fact that Jesus is gone, we don't know what's happened. He opened their mind after proclaiming, telling them all of the Scriptures, so they could understand what was written. And He said, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness will be preached in the name of Jesus Christ to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised me, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus is speaking to you in Luke 24. He is telling you that you have the power of the gospel within you. You have the power of the promised Holy Spirit. You have the power over the addictions. You have the power over Satan who is trying to come against you. We are not children of darkness, we are children of the light. And in the light, 1 John 1:5, there in the light there is no darkness at all. If there's darkness in your soul today, then you haven't given it all to Christ. I remember the high priest that I talked about one time before, the one who acted like he had been saved for a year, and then went back into his witchcraft and wizardry more than he ever had been before. And when inquired upon, how can he do that? How can you be a Christian and then turn back, turn away? And he said, "No, I never gave it up." He said, "I never gave up all the spirits." He wasn't a Christian and then gave it up. He never accepted Jesus Christ in totality. In the first place, the power of the Holy Spirit is real, but we deny it. The promised Holy Spirit is real, but we deny Him. I've heard one man say, "You know, Baptists believe in the Holy Spirit as long as He sits on the back pew and is quiet with the rest of them." Wow. We believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit as Baptists. We understand God, the Father, or at least we think we do. We understand Jesus Christ because He's in the history books. We understand the power of spiritual gift of administration. We understand the spiritual gift of helps. We can wrap our arms around that. I've heard some even preach, well, the gift of administration is still here, the gift of helps is still here, but the gift of miraculous healing is no longer with us since the last apostle. How did that happen? How come God divided His Word only for one particular time? No. It's that the Word says, Timothy says that we are to rightly divide the Word of truth. And as we look at those discrepancies, know that they're wrong. The power of the Holy Spirit resides in you. I believe you have a question that you have to answer. It's coming, guys. This is coming like a freight train. There are areas in France. I was looking at a video this morning. There are areas in France and in Europe. There are areas all over the globe right now that their citizens cannot even enter into because of Islam. They can't go in there. They don't dare. The police don't go. The fire department doesn't go. The doctors don't even go because of Islam in those areas. I'm talking about huge cities. I'm talking about Islam has a foothold in this country. Not a toehold, foothold. They got good footing on that foot. They're trying to reach up the next step. They're not scrambling around anymore to look for something. They got a foothold. They're hanging on. They're beginning to demand that they get their own state. I don't know which state. They want a state to where they can be a Muslim state. But yet we walk around and deny it. Because we deny the power of the Holy Spirit. We deny the power of the gospel. Do you think that Jesus Christ cannot overcome Islam? Their God is the God of this age, who is Satan. That's who they worship. They don't know that. But God said, if you don't worship Jesus Christ and you don't accept Him, then you are not worshiping Me. That means that you're the only one other thing you're worshiping. It is not God the Father. You're following an empty God. But yet you want to hang on to what you got in this world because you're afraid to accept all that power that God has given us. It might make me do stupid things. Somebody might call me a fanatic. Somebody might call me radical. Somebody might call me something. You know, there are other parts of the country, other parts of the world, I mean, maybe the country too for that matter, but there are other parts of the world where if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not worried about someone laughing at you. You're worried about getting your head chopped off. But the power of the gospel allows them to stand up and say, no, I will be for Jesus Christ today. No matter what happens to me, no matter whether I'm separated from family, no matter whether or not they take me to prison, no matter whether they laugh at me, no matter whether IRS comes in and audits me daily, weekly, monthly, that's happening for some of our Christian brothers, some of our Christian organizations. The power of the gospel is the Holy Spirit. We can no longer continue to let Him sit on the back row and keep His mouth shut. I'm sad to say that I heard that from a seminary professor. Now, he may have been being a little bit facetious, but it cut me to the heart when he said it. Let us pray. Father, Father, we come to You and we lift up Your name and we give You praise. And we love You, Lord. And we just pray that you will help us to operate in your power. That you will show us what it is to be a Christian. Not an American Christian. Not a on the fence walking Christian. But a Christian. One with the power of Christ deep in our soul. Not afraid to be declared fanatic or radical for Christ. By the same token, I pray that you will make us a loving body. To where they will know we are Christians because of our love. Not because of our hate signs against Islam or anything. But because of the love that we have as we pray for those who do not know Jesus. As we lift up those who do not know Jesus. Whether they just be the sinner, the average sinner that we're used to in America, whether it be Islam, whether it be Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever it is. That they might, the truth would come to their heart. Quicken their spirit. Know that the truth is there to be grasped. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I pray, Father, you will move this body of believers. Stir us out of our pews and out of our seats. To know that the ministries that you have given to us is to proclaim your gospel. Lord, we love you and we're sorry that we don't show you that more. We're sorry that our actions proclaim otherwise. We're sorry that we deny you during the week. And maybe we don't even focus on you on Sundays. Maybe we're just going through the motions. Instead, Father, I pray that you will fill us with a fervor of your Holy Spirit. I pray you will touch each one today, that as the fire begins to burn, their spirit will be moved. Come into my spirit, Father. Cleanse me. Refresh me. Give me a newness of your power. Help me to proclaim your gospel in all I do. And I give you the praise, for you are worthy of my praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining with this study. If you would like more information about my ministry, please feel free to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. God bless you in your faithfulness to Jesus. Until next time, I pray you receive His gospel power today.
Be washed away. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.